All right, we are back. That was a little bit of Chris Tomlin, Our God. If our God is for us, who can stop us? In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, we are going to, we have an answer for this trivia question. It was Moses. And we're going to get started with Kingdom Corner, and then we're going to get in. And I know our guest is getting ready to join in with us. Miss Lesson Downs is here this morning, too. So, Hannah, you want to get us into Kingdom Corner?
Yeah. I was trying to explain technical things. I'm not good at that. So I'll go to something I can explain, scripture.
You take that thing.
I'm not good at explaining sound issues and internet and Ethernet and all these things.
Jesus probably didn't explain internet either.
Amen. So I'm in Colossians chapter 3. Great, great chapter. But starting in verse 15. So Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is the well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So normally I focus on the kind of the end of this passage, but I think it's so important to read the scriptures before here. Because, you know, we're getting, first of all, starting with, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Mm-hmm. So when we let the peace of God rule in our hearts, this is our calling. This is, you know, which also ye are called in one body. So we can have the peace of God because we are in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's why we can have that. So let it rule in your heart and be ye thankful. And then it goes into talking about, you know, letting Christ dwell in you, letting the wisdom of God, letting the teaching of God, letting the word of God admonish one another. So it's talking about, it's built, I love how it builds here. Mm. And it's telling us, it's laying out for us how to continue to live in peace, but also how to, what that looks like to live in peace. So what does it look like to live in peace? It looks like wives submitting yourself to your husband. What does it look, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, loving your wives and being not bitter against them. That's what it looks like to live in peace. That's what it looks like to model this out, what the Lord is speaking here, and letting Christ dwell in us richly. We can't let Christ dwell in us richly without having the order right in our life, because it's not separate. Christ wants everything. He wants our whole being, our whole mind, our whole family, everything that makes up us, which would be our husbands, which would be our children, which would be our ministry, whatever it is. It's saying, this is how you live in this peace. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, I mean, he's hitting all people here. And with the common theme of, do the commandments as if you're doing them to me, because when those things align with my will and my word, you're going to have peace. And you're going to be in a place where I can speak to you, speak through you, and you will be living for the, you will be, I don't even want to say for the glory, you will be the glory. Like, glory will be in you and radiating out of you. That's right. And that's the beauty of this. Like, that's why, you know, we can, it's not anything natural in us to just not be bitter about things that are making us upset, but through standing on the word of God, through submitting ourselves first to the Lord, then we'll be able to learn to submit ourselves better to our husbands and our bosses or whoever. Then we learn how to get in this, to abide and to get in this flow that he's speaking to us, so that we may have joy as we're doing these things, as we're serving, as we're laying ourselves down. Because all these people, I mean, all these examples that he gives is all about laying ourselves down, because the children don't want to obey their parents. The wives, we don't want to submit. Like the husbands, they don't want to be gentle. And, you know, that's, it's not a natural want, any of these things. It's natural for us to get aggravated with our workplace and it's all about, we're laying ourselves down, denying ourselves, like Ms. Karen was talking about. And when this happens, we will receive the reward of the inheritance, and those that do these things, they will receive that reward. Like everything is reaping a reward, but what reward is it going to be? And I love that he includes, and there is no respect of persons, because no one is exempt from this. He includes everyone and lets us know that, like, it is the same for everyone. And I think that we can rest in knowing that, because we get so caught up sometimes in looking at each other and comparing ourselves to each other. But when we see that, okay, if God has no respecter of persons, if this word is true and the same for everyone, then why am I looking at everything, the next person? Why I need to be looking at him, because he's the one who, he is the one who I answer to. You know, even though we do answer to servants, you know, obey your masters, but at the end of the day, we are being judged by the Lord.
You know, and it's that word in 23, for whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, one of the things, again, we talked about last week, and I said something about a word the Lord had given me about you don't have to hold anything against anybody. And I've thought about that a lot, this denying ourselves and everything. And what you're saying right here is that I realize that that word, and that's every time I've tried to hold something against somebody, that word has called me back to itself. That you don't have to hold that against them. That word calls me back. And these words you're speaking here, if you will let them, they will call you back to the right place. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. It'll call you back to the right place in whatever you're doing, submitting, loving the unlovable, whatever it is. These words will call you to themselves if you'll let them. It's one reason it's so important to know the word.
Yeah. And how often do we even the fathers provoking their children, like, how often does that happen just out of not thinking about this? Like, just reacting on whatever we feel or what's going on, and the house is a mess, or this isn't going right. But what if we stopped and thought about, like, what that was doing? You know, like, I love, and this isn't for fathers, this is actually more towards mothers, but I've seen people share this before, like, you know, getting so upset about the house being a mess. And I think the Lord wants us to, you know, steward what we have and everything. But I believe that fully. But it was like seeing the shoes scattered everywhere and thinking, like, and getting so mad at the kids, or thinking, like, thank you, Lord, that I have little feet running around this house, that you've given me these children to steward, and that I have shoes laying here. You know, like, shifting our... And I think that mindset... It like keeps us in a mindset where we're not bitter as we're picking up the shoes.
Right.
Like, we're not bitter as we're putting the things away. We're praising God as we're putting the things away. And it's like that attitude shift. And same thing with dishes. Like, Ethan and I, we both hate doing the dishes so much. But when we first got married, I think Aaron preached something about doing everything to the glory of God. And so one day we were like, All right, we're doing these dishes to the glory of God. And we just started, like, I don't know, we started, like, listening to worship, and just, we were both doing them together, and we just had the best time. I don't know what we were, but we were like, all right, we're declaring right here, like, we're going to do these to the glory of God, because we're tired of being miserable about it. You know, and it makes a difference.
Yes, it
like,
does.
To shift your perspective. And those are just two simple things, but... People are going through some hard things. Like, there's people that are facing some challenging things. And in all these areas, I mean, there's marriages that are on the brink of falling apart. There's children that are in total rebellion and chaos. Mm-hmm. And it's not just always as simple as, let's do these dishes to the glory of God. You know, like, sometimes there's some serious stuff, but it's still the same principle.
That's right.
It's hard, and it can be messy. But the Lord will, if we will turn and fix our eyes upon Him and come back to this word like you're talking about, we are, our heart posture being fixed to this will enable us to endure anything.
Well, God's a God of order, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're putting Him above the situation, like, if you even open up your mind to welcome Him into whatever is going on, whatever room you're in, whatever you're having to do, whoever you're dealing with, mm-hmm. if you're welcoming Him in and putting that thought of Him first, things just fall in order.
Right.
Because if He's not our first thought, that means this other thought, this situation, this person, this task, whatever it is, we're thinking about it before Him.
Right.
And the cool thing is, if we think about Him first, there's an order. There's like a flow of peace that flows down from Him into what we're doing. And sometimes we put our task and situation, what we're dealing with, like all these things, we're thinking about that. And there's not going to be any peace flowing from any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think about God and we think about, all right, God, well, praise You today.
Right, that's right.
Thank You for today. Thank You for the feet. Thank You for the hands that one day will mature enough to take care of these shoes themselves.
That's right.
Like, you know, just keep that, you know, it's all about order. So if God is first, you've got the first step mm-hmm. of things being in the right order down. So,
you know, I shared with the ladies in the Bible study last night. I had read this book one time, and in it he was talking about another man. You know, way back, like in the early 1900s or something like that. But this man made a decision that he was going to begin to learn to meditate on God's Word day and night. And so he got started. And this man was writing out about his experience of learning to meditate on God's Word day and night. And at the beginning, as he was writing, you could hear his struggle. I mean, in his words, you didn't have to hear him speak about it, but you could hear the struggle he was having about meditating on God's Word. Oh, God, today I only made it for 30 seconds. It's so hard. It's so hard to think about Your Word day and night. I can't even do it for a minute. And he went on and he kept writing and writing and writing about it. And there came a point in time where you could hear his writing begin to change.
Hmm.
Today, Lord, I made it for an hour. Today, Lord, I thought about Your Word for an hour. And you could hear his countenance changing in his writing. And it went on and on, and he kept on and he kept on, and his writing kept changing, and his whole demeanor kept changing. And then he got to a place and he said, oh, Lord, I'm learning how to meditate on Your Word day and night. It's ever on my thought. It's always in my thinking. And he said, I go about my day with such ease. It's like I do my job and I don't even have to think about it, and yet I do an excellent work. And he went on and he talked about how he did not have to seek people to speak of the Lord to. They were drawn to Him.
Mm.
And it was an incredible, it was like sitting there watching a man's life being transformed And there was revelation coming to him over and over again because he was thinking about the Word of God. And, you know, this calling thing, the Word of God calling you to a place with him to keep you in this peace that you've spoken of today. That's one of the ways that God writes his Word upon your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he does it. By calling you back to his Word. Look at what he does to ensure your success, your victory. And he calls you back over and over, and he writes that Word on your heart. And then what it does is it transforms you, and then you come to this place you spoke about where there begins to be the manifestation of it
mm-hmm.
in your life and through your life. And, you know, we make a hard thing out of testifying and proclaiming the name of Jesus in the world today. But I'm beginning to understand it's not just about that. But if I would think about what God said, if I would meditate on his Word day and night, if I would seek to know, he's going to take care of that person seeing him in me. Even mm-hmm. though they may not know his name.
Mm.
But they're going to be drawn to it. Jesus was a man who was not beautiful. He was not attractive. There was nothing physically about him that would draw someone to him. What drew them? What was coming out of him?
Mm.
And it's the same thing here. It's what you're talking about here. If we would do these things as unto the Lord, he's going to honor that.
Mm. Amen.
So,
that's so good. What an intro to whatever Les is going to talk to us about today. But I do think, I mean, it applies to everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that Les could go into and take this and speak into how even this has applied to her ministry,
mm-hmm.
her
yeah.
life. I mean, it applies to everything. But we're thankful that she's here with us, and
yeah.
She has the guitar. She has
good
iPad.
Morning, everybody.
Why don't you introduce yourself, just in case? I mean, I know many of our listeners are familiar with you, but we always have new people tuning in.
Absolutely, the kingdom increases daily.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Yeah, so I'm Leslie Nicole Downs. And I go by Lesson Downs because God showed me my name with the lie marked out. He said, I'm taking the lies you've answered to since the moment you were born. And being someone adopted twice, I wasn't seeing the acceptance of being adopted. I was seeing the rejection of not being wanted.
Mm.
And God turned my head to
oh.
see the good of things, the love of things. Because you can't, they're in opposite directions. You can't look at rejection and look at acceptance in the same
uh-huh.
same direction. It's directional. Are you looking down or are you looking up? Are you looking
Amen.
At rejection, looking down, or are you looking up to see the acceptance that's right there for you, that you're loved just as you are, you're enough, you were born for a purpose, you're here for a reason, and our identity is not found by checking a box, as many has found in this day and age. Our identity is found and checking your spirit with Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Saying,
That's
who
right.
am I, Lord? And he said, you're mine. You're all mine.
Uh-huh.
And I love you just as you are. And I have a plan for your life. I'm not gonna reveal it to you. It's like those game shows, you know, everyone chooses the mystery box. I feel like that's ministry, you know? Like that's following the Lord. He's like, I'm not gonna let you know. You're like, okay, I'll take the thing I don't know. I want it. They're like, you can have 10 grand or you can have this, whatever's in this mystery box. You're like, give me the box. And you're always like, what?
That's one of the
But
things.
That's the Lord, you know? And then like they open that box of, and it's all the things that 10 grand, that money could never buy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is ministry. It's a gift. Go with the box, y'all. So
y'all
can't fit in
the box
either. He's just waiting to boom. Pop out like a Jesus in the bar, like, hello, you can't contain me. I will not be contained. I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere. I am the box. I'm the air around the box. I'm the reason you have air. Like, Jesus is awesome. So I don't know.
The reason you have
a I don't know if you know him or not, but you should definitely, definitely say hi to Jesus sometime and let him talk to you a little bit.
He's great, isn't he?
It's beautiful.
He's so good.
It is beautiful.
No one is too far gone.
No, ma'am. You have the life before you met Jesus, and that moment it happens that you touch the hem of his garment. Or, you know, I've heard so many say, I don't like that song, You Touch Me, It's Weird. It's like, well, apparently you've just never been touched by Jesus, because it's not weird at all. It's awesome.
That's right.
Because you have that moment before you're touched by the presence of God and after.
That's right.
And it is, looking down or looking up, y'all. Like, there's looking back at the life before him, and there's looking ahead to the life with him. And
it's that I've tasted and I've seen.
Yeah.
That you are good.
Yeah.
You
and
are
good. There's that revelation of that scripture where it says, taste and see that I'm good. There can be something in the room that we can all see. Mm-hmm. There can be a sound in the room we can all hear. There can be this table, this enormous table that you all can't see, but everyone in this room can feel it because it takes up the whole room. It's hard not to. And we got that there. But if there's something here to eat, to taste, that's personal.
Right.
That's individual. That's right. God said taste and see, because that's the only sense that we have, that we have to open up and receive individually.
That's right.
Nobody can taste it for you.
That's right. That's
or that
good.
Would be a very high-paying career in this day and age. Eat this cake for me so I can taste it. But no, like, that's not how it works. God knows that. That's individual. Open up and receive me. Taste and see that I'm good, because you're not going to taste something by looking at it.
Yeah.
You're not going to taste something by talking about it.
Yeah.
You got to open up and receive it.
Come to the table. Come to the table.
Amen. Prepare a table for me in front of my enemies.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what that does? Those people that maybe have like a distaste for you in your life, and you don't even know why. Like, why are you like that? When the Lord sets a table for you in front of them and you pull the seat out, you say, come on, what are you waiting for? Sit down, I got a place for you. What does that feel like to them?
Wow.
Yeah, because we're not called to have enemies. We're not called to hold, you know, like, unforgiveness, hatefulness. Mm-hmm. God says, vengeance is mine.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And watch what I do. I take this person you've hated because of a certain thing, and I'm going to make you have compassion for them.
Yes.
I'm going to make you pray that they are blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to change your heart when I change their heart. And you're going to want to see them live a life that is blessed and full. Let me handle this. Because we're like, oh, you got it coming. And Lord's like, it's not what you think, though. It's not what you think. They've got blessings coming. When it talks about mounting, you know, hot coals upon their head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's different than what you're thinking.
That's
you're
right.
Like, oh, that sounds painful. Yeah. Give them that, Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's like, no. There's gonna be a burning and a sense of them knowing me.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna be on fire from me. Watch it. If you let go of your unforgiveness, if you're willing to forgive and walk in that forgiveness that Jesus hung in, he didn't wait till he was off the cross to forgive the ones that drove the nails. He was still on the cross and he forgave them. That is a prime example of urgency. Like, I'm not supposed to wait to forgive this person in the moment I feel what I'm feeling. I'm supposed to give it to God. Because, like, we've mentioned before, and it was really a visual for me that really, really stuck, was a spiritual inbox. Because we have all these messages that come in, and the truth is, if you don't open something up and deal with it, it's still there, but it gets buried.
That's right.
It gets buried.
That's
You've got this maintenance to keep up with things, and it's like, I don't think I'm supposed to let it get backed up like that. I think I'm supposed to open this and deal with it
right now
in this moment. And then I never, because it's still there.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's still taking up space. And when you start to see that notification, hey, you're running out of space, you're going to have to clean this thing out, you're like, Oh my gosh, how many are in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you kind of get a spiritual notification as well, like, hey, everything's bothering you. And it's not that it's that thing bothering you. It's that you are so full up. Everything is right here at the top. Mm. You have no grace area spiritually. You're
That's
up to
good.
The brim. You've had it up to here. It's like, because you're supposed to have a little bit more room to process things. You're full. You're full up. And it's time to do some spiritual, you know.
Then you take
an evaluation. Take inventory. Like, okay, Lord, let's sit. Let's start rebuking. Let's start just forgiving stuff. Yeah, and deliverance ministry I went through, restoring the foundations. It is all about renouncing, clearing the air, man. Clearing your heart, clearing your mind. You're basically rebuking, renouncing. Like, there's the different levels of things, and you're going through a list, and it's an extensive list.
Right.
But when you get to the end of it, and that's where you ask for this or that, or Holy Spirit, show me what you're ready to heal. What you've done is opened all the doors and all the barriers that were created between you and your healing. You've opened them all up. Forgiveness, open that door. You know, rebuke a spirit of witchcraft. That door is open. Like, you're mm-hmm. making your way. You're
right.
making your way to your healing. And everything that has blocked you from even being able to see that was the issue. And the really beautiful thing about deliverance is when you pray for the Holy Spirit to show you what's ready to be healed in your life, and you sit there with your eyes closed and it's dark and you're like, I don't know. Okay, all right. I'm just sitting in faith. Okay. And when the light in your mind comes up, and you're taken to a memory, it's not always going to be a memory you remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten buried. It's pretty deep in there. But it was the cause of all the buildup of other things in your life, and you didn't even know that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, Jesus, show me where you're at. Where are you at in this? That's where your healing's at, right
mm-hmm.
there.
Because
when he shows you that he's been there, when you... just, oh my gosh, it's so much more when you are limited with physical mindset. You don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand. You have eyes you can't see, because he's always talking spiritually.
That's right.
He's like, they got ears but they can't hear. Mm-hmm. They got eyes they can't see. He's talking spiritually.
That's right.
He's not talking physically. You can open your eyes and see. He's talking spiritually. You have these, but you can't see.
Deep
you can't
things.
See what I'm talking about. Because Jesus is always talking spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we have physical afflictions. And you're like, well, why am I dealing with this pain? It's like, well, that's probably tethered to something spiritually
that's
that
right.
you haven't dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who you hating on? Who you hating on? Maybe take a little evaluation. Need to be seen.
These are things you don't want to hear.
But I can vouch for that, because there have been two times that the Lord has healed me, physically healed me, but the spiritual healing came first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He healed my mind and my thinking and my vision, and opened my ears to hear what he had to say about a matter. And it was like at that point, the physical wasn't even, it was just something I had to deal with. You know, it wasn't the first guy.
What
he was saying was first. And it was a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And once that spiritual thing got dealt with, the
you
physical happened.
You think it's kind of like the strong man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When it talks about
a spiritual issues are always going to be deeper than you physically can reach.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gonna be like, our bodies are so temporary. God's main concern is your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your spirit, the part of you that's gonna live forever, that's what he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what he's concerned with. He's saying, if you can have all this stuff in the world, you have everything you've ever wanted, okay, well, you've got those that get it. and they end up taking their own life in their mm-hmm. mansion in the middle of the night because they're completely empty. Mm-hmm. Like, everything physically of this world can be destroyed, can be taken. Mm-hmm. Every single thing. Every single thing spiritually cannot be moved, mm-hmm. cannot be shaken, cannot be taken. And we have all this spiritual authority that we can walk in. And Satan cannot take your power, cannot, incapable of touching it, can't get near it. Mm-mm. But he's great at distraction. Mm-hmm. Great at distraction. He can keep you from realizing you even have it. Well, if I can get you to, ooh, shiny pretty over here, maybe you won't even try to seek for this over here. If I can keep you in the shallow, you're never going to go to the deep. Mm-hmm. But look over here, though. Look over here, though. And that's the thing. You can't look at the things physically. Like, think about looking down. You're looking at physically. Or looking up. The unknown. Wide, vast of, oh my gosh, what all is there? Like, look up, y'all. Look up. Look up.
It's Abraham thing, in a way. It's like, and kind of like what you were saying earlier, you go and I'll show you.
Yeah, he's that voice that says, go left, go right. Uh-huh.
You look up, I'll show you.
Yeah, be in motion, mm-hmm. be looking.
That's right.
Be looking, don't wait to, he's a lifter of our head, but sometimes just lift your head up a little bit and look for him, and then he'll direct it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's come right. on, guys, like, let's look for him. Let's look for him in everything and everyone, mm-hmm. because everyone that's walking this planet was made for a purpose, made for a reason, and maybe they're not walking in it, but what you do doesn't make you who you are, mm-hmm. who you were made to be. Some people are trapped mm-hmm. in what they do, and they're never going to know who they are. And Christians, we can't judge people where they're at, because that moment between being touched by God, you've got their life before and the life immediately after, where they can be completely changed, where their sphere of influence is completely separate from ours. They can reach people we never could. Mm-hmm. And the worst people that you see, you need to be praying that they know him, mm-hmm. that he touches them, mm-hmm. that they have that moment in his presence where things are never the same, because they are going to walk in an anointing that no one else could ever have.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's like that resistance in a rubber band. You know, a slingshot, that resistance, where you've got the frame that is the things of God, mm-hmm. having a mindset of God, knowing the love of God, knowing a life in him. You've got that. That band is all the resistance on the other side, like all about me, life, blah, 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 what I want, all those things. That's resistance. And when we give up the resistance, watch how quickly someone moves into God. Mm-hmm. It's like it talks about man doesn't live on bread alone. Okay, well, spiritually, people are starving.
That's right.
They're starving. Mm-hmm. And there is a banquet laid out before all human beings. And the door is open. Like, come and feast
right.
on some realness, on some life-giving bread of life, truth, word that's going to bring you to life. Mm-hmm. Like, you are starving inside. You are weak spiritually because you have not been fed. Like God's saying, mm-hmm. come and feast on the word and live life to its fullest, because fullness is in him, and you have emptiness everywhere else. Everything is hollow. Everything that's physical is weightless in the span of eternity. It doesn't mean anything. It's trash. Everything can be trash, where it's like, ugh, why did I put so much into that? One mm-hmm. flood just washed it all away. Mm-hmm. It's like, because it's here, and it's earthly, and it's physical. Everything spiritual has a weight, an eternal weight, mm-hmm. that will hold and stand fast in the storms, in mm-hmm. the things that come, in the disappointment. This Christian camp in Texas, it's mm-hmm. heartbreaking. Like, yeah. it's hard to even watch, but you're praying hard. You're praying hard they find who they can. You're praying hard for those parents that are standing there in the brokenhearted unknown. Like, you're praying hard, mm-hmm. but watch God use this situation to bring him glory.
Yeah.
Watch there be testimony. Watch there be something to bring him glory out of it. It's just how it works. That when you give him that hurt, he's going to give you in return a healing that doesn't make sense to someone that doesn't know him.
And greatness.
We're not prepared to carry those things. We're not equipped to carry those weighty, heavy things. That's why he says, you take my yoke. We're not equipped to carry unforgiveness. We're not equipped to do that. It's too heavy for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not equipped to carry bitterness or even that kind of hurt. We can't carry it without him.
Mm.
And that giving it away, giving it to him, is taking his yoke, which is light. It is possible for us to carry that because he's carrying the heavy. He's doing the heavy
lifting.
He's
doing the heavy lifting. And he's the only one that can. You got people out there tired, aggravated. It's like carrying on a hot day, carrying a big bag.
Mm.
And you got to park so far from the beach. Have you ever been there?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to park so far, and everything's so heavy, but everything in it's something you need. You feel like. Until halfway there, and you're like, maybe I didn't need this or this. Umbrella's not necessary. I will seek shelter.
I will burn.
Just let me die, Lord. You get that point. And think about somebody big and strong coming up and being like, let me take that for you. And then your short little 5'3", overweight self be like, no, I'll get it. Be like, girl, you fool. Hand it over. Just hand it over. Yeah. You're here to relax and enjoy.
Uh-huh.
Why are you killing yourself?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of spiritual burdens that are going on, and we're like, no, I got this, I got this, I got this. If you could see, though.
If you just really knew what
you
were
really
talking about.
If you really knew how ridiculous you look, I think you just hand it over, you know, because you've got enough to carry on your own. You don't need
adequate.
You
think we should pray that sometimes? Lord, just let us see
how ridiculous we are. Like, please, Lord, can you let me see how completely
ridiculous
I am?
I didn't ask God to show me that about myself, but I did eventually see some.
Oh, you saw it?
I've seen how ridiculous I've been.
It's good to get perspective.
Yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it of myself on certain things.
It's good to have perspective.
He has shown me, and it's like, oh, my gosh.
It's like, you know, you say something and he's not necessarily like this, but he's like, what? What?
Listen to what that sounds like.
Yeah, he's got a sense of humor,
yeah,
check.
He,
like, he gets a kick out of us.
Uh-huh.
He'd be like,
okay. Boogie.
Alrighty.
It is in the sense of, like, he will let us keep doing the insanity of trying to do the thing over and over again, and then realize, like,
mm-hmm. That's that resistance band.
It's never
going to
work.
He's like, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm.
We need keep revelation. Resistant. We need revelation.
And release.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual release. Mm-hmm. Stop resisting.
We talked just briefly about it last week. You know, he's after the root. He's after the very tip of the root of what's in there. And he's willing to go deep. You got to go with him. But he is after the tip of the root. A dandelion can come back from the tip of the root. Mm. He's after it all. He wants all of it out. That hurt or whatever it is that you've got going on, he wants it out of there. All of it.
Mm.
He does. I love him.
He loves you too. Isn't that a relief? It's hard when you love somebody so much and they don't love you back, but you can know that actually this time
the
he
Lord.
Is love.
Yeah.
that's what he
There's
is.
There's no rejection.
There's no rejection.
There's no possibility.
No, but you know, that revelation of, you know, God is love, people kinda take that and run with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But God is just.
Yeah. Holy.
He's like, just like a parent, I'm gonna love you. No matter what. But if you do something wrong, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to discipline you.
You're going to wish timeout is all you
get. You're going to wish. You're going to wish I was putting you in a corner. You're staring at a wall. You're going to pray. You're going to pray. You just got to sit down 10 minutes. Because in 30 years, you're like, please let me sit down for 10 minutes. Please let me have a timeout.
It won't happen today.
Your children get about 3-4. You're like, can I have a timeout?
But be
Can
careful.
I have to go take a nap, please?
Be careful with that, though, because I've heard testimonies of when people asked the Lord for a vacation and he gave them a vacation they was not really looking for. It was not an actual vacation.
Like missionary fields in the mud pits in Africa.
Or a prison cell.
Ooh. Amen. Well, amen.
But, you know. Jail is not the worst place a person can find themselves sometimes.
Exactly.
Hey, I found Jesus in a jail.
That's right.
I found finally, like, just a taste of humility enough to realize that he had been knocking on my heart, and I was like, go away, don't want any. Mm-hmm. And then when I opened up and I asked him in my heart, nothing's been the same. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I worked at a jail. I didn't go to jail, but, you know, I went to jail, and what I learned there is what a judgmental person I was. Mm. That's the first thing I learned. I learned that I was a very judgmental person because I worked at a jail, and I saw my judgment of others. And so sometimes being in jail is not the worst place a person can find yourself. Mm-mm. You can really find a lot there. You can see a lot of things. If you'll just open your eyes.
I know you can find the Lord there.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Even if there's nobody preaching the word, because he is near to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. And I believe, like, you know, I see the Lord work in we talked about the valleys on last Thursday, but when someone is at the end of themselves, like, that's sometimes the best place we can be.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When you look in Scripture and you look at those that failed, that got it wrong, look at their redemption story. Mm-hmm. When you've got those, like, come on, Saul and Paul. Like, we've all heard it, but have you really thought, like,
really?
Deep? Because if you haven't, give it some thought. Like, if you're like, oh, my gosh, but I've done this and this and this and this, you're like, take a look at Paul. Like, take a look at Peter.
David.
Like, take a look, see y'all. Like, they had some problems.
Mm-hmm.
But God redeems. Mm-hmm. He redeems. He restores. And that's...
And they came to the end of themselves. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and sometimes you see somebody in those situations where they have made such a mistake, you almost get excited thinking about the other side of that mistake. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to draw them closer to the Lord, because they have tried on their own and they fail.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, okay. Like, what's going to be on the other side? What testimony is going to be on the other side of this, though? Mm-hmm. And I've had friends in ministries that have made huge mistakes and been exposed. Everything in the darkness comes to light, and I just go ahead and try to get ahead of that and just be completely open and honest about what a terrible person I've been. Go ahead and get it out there and be like, pfft. Mm-hmm. Because what you confess can no longer control.
Yes.
Right.
It's those things in your life that you're like, well, if they knew this, if they knew that, well, just get it out there, girl. Get it out there. Watch how freeing it is to be like, okay, well, even if they know, it's going to be the glory of God.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Because that's not who I am anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I made that mistake, and boy, did it teach me some things.
That's right.
And there's scripture that talks about, you know, if we humble ourselves, it's either we humble ourselves or the Lord humble us. And if we humble ourselves, then that's between us and the Lord. But if the Lord humbles us, that's being put on display.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Like, he will display it.
Oh, yeah.
If we keep it in secret. But if we confess it to him and we get it out in the open with him, then he will be our only, he can be our only audience.
It's that thing about the hiding place.
That's right.
You know, it's those things that when you go ahead and you offer it up to him in that place of intimacy, in that time with him, it's different than when it's brought to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that's brought it. It's different when somebody's bringing it to you.
Yeah.
And it's exposed, and it's like,
yeah.
You've already hit it off at the pass.
Yeah. It's like one's a release and the other one's a oppression. Not, you
it's
know,
the
it's
difference in conviction and condemnation.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Two different things.
Exactly.
One is a correction and, you know, like to steer the path, and the other one's like,
go to hell.
Mm-hmm. You're like, like how you want to take stuff. I want to take it like, okay, I made this mistake. Lord, show me what I can learn from it, who I can help that, mm-hmm. that maybe That's is fine. In the middle of that same mistake. Like, let me be open to share the brokenness as well as the healing on the other side of that brokenness. Mm-hmm. Let me not speak from a place of I've learned it all, but speak from a place of we're learning together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, keep that spirit of humility where it's not, you're not in any position to be have that condemnation because mm-hmm. you're already walking in a spirit of conviction mm-hmm. where it's like, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, convict me of the things I do, the things I say. Like, just in the car on the way here, I got stuck behind a garbage truck.
Yeah. I hear you.
And I had to be like, okay, Jesus, all right, help me out because he's going like 20. That's not my jam. But sometimes the Lord wants to slow you down. That's fine. That's fine. But you got to give it to him in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, like before.
Before you get before. Real mouthy.
Before the guy hanging on the back sees you. Go ahead and be ready to be like.
And knows your name.
Yeah. Yeah. The more places I go now, the more you're like, oh, I guess I have got to be a little more aware of everything, everywhere, all the time. Like, Lord, convict me. And someone talked the other day, you know, they were talking about so-and-so, this and that, you know, and you're like, you know, to each their own. You know, I feel like we've got enough to talk about in our own. I don't think we have to bring in other people's issues. I think we have enough of our own to talk about, unless it's encouraging, it's testimony, and you're bringing someone into that conversation to encourage through their story, or someone needs prayer, or whatever that is. I feel like we should be growing in those things, but we've just got enough of stuff mm-hmm. of stuff to deal with of our own.
Yeah,
that it's not necessary to bring somebody else into it, unless it's in an encouraging way, in a prayerful way, and it's weighing things. You know, Brother Wayne always says, "Weigh it before you say it."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's a good thing, and it's not so much weighing it before you say it, you're balancing it. Mm. You're taking what you're going to say on a scale and seeing how it balances with what God says.
Yeah.
And if what you say does not balance well, it's like, maybe I just shouldn't say it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm thinking this, I'm feeling convicted. But in the conversation, someone had mentioned, well, so-and-so this or that, or da-da-da. Like, they don't have an issue with this or that. And I'm like, you know what? I can't drink anymore. I don't have sense with the stuff. I got convicted. I went too far at one point. And it's like, you know what? I just got to walk in my own conviction. I got to mm-hmm. walk in the things I'm convicted of. You can have wine or you can drink. Kudos to you. But I can't. I just mm-hmm. can't. Because it's a trap for me.
Right.
Because I don't have sense with it. And once the enemy gets it in there, so, you know, it's the same with all kinds of things, mm-hmm. all kinds of things, like marijuana. Some people can smoke it, have no problem. Kudos to you. But, you know, God's told me no. And it's like, all right, you know what, Lord, I submit to you. And it's difficult because so many things are an easy escape. He's like, I'm not trying to get you to escape here. I'm trying to get you to battle, to mm-hmm. fight. I'm not here for escapism. I'm here for,
it's
you know, battle.
It's
spiritual battle.
Yeah, it's a safety,
you know,
net, too.
And it's like so many things that the world offers is just a retreat. And mm-hmm. God's wanting us to take ground. And so, and it could be that those that are comfortable with things, that are Christians, that are walking the walk, have ministries, and they're comfortable with these things, maybe God's working on other things with them and hasn't gotten to that thing yet.
Yeah.
And it does work like that. He meets us where we're at. But I do believe that there is a call to holiness.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think we've lost we've lost that.
It's a process too. Like, I don't think it's all at once. Like, he throws, like, this is all the things mm-hmm. that you've got to give up and all the things you got to do. It's
one thing at a time.
It's
one
he's step so at a time. Patient like that, and it's like, man, I've got a lot of things, and you know, life here is compared to like a vapor, like, you know, it goes so quick, and you're like, I don't know that I have time to get through this list of all these things that I need to work on, because mm-hmm. I don't even know the extent of the list, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's that verse, and I can't say it all because my favorite one it's in one of the, I think it's 1 John 2 something, where it's, it talks about the world doesn't know us because, you know, it doesn't know him. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Mm-hmm. But then it says, he who has this hope purifies himself. And see, the thing is that I think that there is this, it's, there has to be a willingness in us, mm-hmm. a willing mind, a willing heart to move. That verse right there calls me all the time. If you have this hope that you're going to look like him, you're in the process of purifying yourself in that. But the thing is that there has to be a willingness. And you know, just real quick, it probably doesn't have much, but I remember one time the Lord told me, he said, you know all those can'ts you have in your life? He said, most of those aren't can'ts. They're won'ts. Amen, now, that's a tough sister. Word. That's a tough word. Amen. But, you know, I didn't feel condemned by it. I was convicted.
Amen.
Because I knew it was true. Mm-hmm. And I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that word. It's not that you can't. In me, you say all things are possible. That's what I've said, Karen. You've said that. Mm-hmm. There's a new person here, is there not? Mm-hmm. You were born again, weren't you? Mm. So it's not a can't, it's a won't.
Mm. Amen.
That's what he told me.
That's so good, though. The truth will set us free. We have like three minutes. So if you got something to share with us, bring it on.
Bring it on.
And we'll close out with a song. 1 minute, 2 minute. 1 minute, 1.5 minute.
I'm pretty sure that second finger was a 0, making a 10. It's a cool sign. I like it. All right. This is a song. I've been invited to God Tube Studios tomorrow in Nashville to record a few songs and do an interview. And so I was going to play one of the songs. I just finished it 3 days ago, I think. It was recent. It was called All I Need. Your great faithfulness fills every emptiness. Your grace is all I need. Cover all my shame, glory to your name, Jesus, you are all I need. You provide my shelter, I can't hide in you. There is nowhere like the shadow of your wings. Jesus, you are all I break and pour it out, all of this doubt. I don't want to carry the weight. Your great faithfulness is endless. Jesus, you are all I need. You provide my shelter, I can't hide in you. There is nowhere like the shadow of your wings. Jesus, you are all I need. Where would I be without without your spirit. There's not a night your light can't break through. You speak peace to the storm that's raging. Oh, your sweet covering. You provide my shelter. I can't hide in you. There is nowhere like the shadow of your wings. Jesus, you are all I need. Jesus, you are all I need.
Amen.
That's
amen,
so
amen.
Good. Oh, well, we're out of time, but what a song. Yeah. I'm a fan. I love it. Amen. Well, thank you, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Les. Thank you, Ms. Karen. Tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Amen.
7 a.m., amen.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I was just, man.